I'm not really excited because I've been a follower of yours from a distance for a very long time. So like it's a big deal to be sitting an arm's length away from you.
All,
that's
no?
like not creepy in the slightest. And then I came across this article on News 24 this week. This red flags and green shoots article, which pretty much blew me away and it just resonated really, really deeply with me. And so, yeah, here you are. Thank you for coming. I'm looking forward to the next couple of minutes. Going to your article.
Okay, just before we do that, what do you do at News 24?
I'm a columnist, I'm a writer, I'm part of the investigative team.
They're very lucky to get you.
Do they
know how
lucky
they are?
I hope so. I write. I do kind of like feature stuff around the criminal justice system. But then I write columns as well, amongst other things.
Okay. All right. Just context. Okay, so now you wrote this article.
Well, sorry. I wrote two articles, actually.
That's very important, and I want to take you back, because kind of that's the fun about being two of us here. There's me and there's Kathy. Kathy is the positive, optimistic, sees the good in everything kind of person, wants to fix, make better, tikkun olam, all that stuff.
He's basically saying I'm an idiot, and
not
he's wrong.
In the slightest. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you are a certain personality type, and I'm exactly the opposite. I'm the mutz, I'm the Woody Allen, I'm the, oh my God, this is shocking, this is terrible, and I tend to loll in it, and so this article like really spoke to me a lot.
The negative one.
So before we get to the negative one, because you prefaced your article by saying you had written an article before about the green shoots, about rays of hope and where we can look to the future and see some hope. So I haven't seen that article. Take me through that article. What are the green shoots? What did you write about?
So just to put this in context, I think everybody knows that the zeitgeist of the country at the moment, and particularly in the Jewish community, is particularly negative and cynical at the moment.
Correct.
You know, Shabbos dinner table talk is about immigration. I like to call it your plan B. You know, who's going where are you schmuckling your money to? You know, what passport can you get? And that's the reality of it. You know, that's what people are talking about. And
that's what we know within our community. But the truth is that it's people Zanati's age.
Oh, absolutely.
Our youth. It's
everywhere.
Where are our youth going?
Yeah. So
young people, young families across the color,
one of the
color
points,
line.
Yeah.
It's actually incredible.
Within that context, that the first article that I wrote was there is hope. There are positive signs happening. There are green shoots emerging. And this was the result, I suppose, of a conversation that I had with a good friend of mine, Brent Lindeke, who's the Good Things guy. And he had put up a post on Facebook around the good things about South Africa and how we need to change our narratives. And I felt that they were so important about changing our own personal narratives and the narratives that we're having in our conversations with our friends and family. And that's why I wrote the first article. And that was pointing out the fact that you know, it's very difficult. It's very easy to speak about the negatives. It's very easy to look at the GDP numbers and the job stats that have come out and the GDP to debt ratio and to look at what's going on with Eskom and the bailouts and how negative it is. But there are positives. So if you look at state-owned entities, how there's new leadership that's come into place there at the NPA, if you look at SARS, if you look at the Hawks, you know, there's a lot happening there. If you look at the media, if you look at the judiciary, you look at civil society. And I wrote about all of that, the fact that there are actually lots of optimistic signs. You know, it may sound a bit Pollyanna-ish to people. You definitely, because you're just
no, exactly, because
so
I'm the
negative.
Big old dog called Mutz.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like, are you writing this article to try and convince yourself that everything's
going
to be
exactly
just fine?
Oh, you sound exactly like my mother and father.
Yeah, I probably am.
No, that's because I genuinely believe it. You know, I genuinely believe that there are a lot of green shoots out there. There's a lot of change happening already, but people don't want to see it because they are so transfixed by the red flags that are up. And that's why I subsequently wrote the second column,
okay,
which was the red flags and how important it is for us to have strong leadership from Cyril Ramaphosa at the moment, because people are consumed by these red flags, like the economy, like Eskom, like the fact that all of the private sector leaders that have gone, like Mark Barnes to the post office
guy,
has now gone, you know, at Eskom, gone, you know, so there's a lot that I've written about that is overwhelmingly negative. And, you know, we can't put our blinders on and say, well, let's just look at the good things. You know, we have to look at the bad things too, so that we can raise the flag and say, we need leadership here because the warning signs are all there.
Okay, number one warning sign is that Cyril Ramaphosa is very clear that he's a socialist. I mean, South Africa is a socialist country, or that is the aims of our leading political parties. I mean, that is a worrying thing, don't you think?
Well, we look at something like the NHI bill that was tabled last week.
It's only taken 49 years.
Yeah, but the fact that it was tabled. So, you know, a lot of people who are middle class and upper class are, you know,
plan being
panicking because that's your medical security. You know, people are worried about whether or not they will then have to pay more to effectively have their health compromised. You know, and so that is one of the red flags that people are worrying about.
Sure.
And they're saying, well, what is the future like for my children? You know, what does this mean? You know, and because there isn't strong leadership and clarity around that, you know, that's one of the things that they're worrying about at the moment.
Can I bring in another aspect here? And I think that it's an aspect that we need to bring into have this conversation, is that a lot of people are looking at South Africa, and South Africa is what we know. And we look overseas and we think, well, you know, there's a beautiful place. There's a beautiful place that they don't have problems. Every single country has problems. We just have problems in good weather.
You see, that's
100%. So, So I agree with you, is that I think that people look at South Africa and they think that we're unique in the world in that, you know, we have an employment crisis and that we, you know, we have an economy issue and Eskom. Look at Brazil. You know, it happens in a lot of countries. You know, we still have rule of law. You know, there's no anarchy. There aren't masses descending, you know, that everyone's worried about. You know, there still is rule of law. We still have a very good standard of living, but it depends who you are. You know, it depends if you're living in a Glen Hazel, Waverley, Sandton. But we also need to understand that we have to compromise our privilege to ensure that there is some kind of reform and that there is transformation. And people aren't willing to do that. You know, they're worried about what the future is going to look like from their privileged perspective.
Well, that in and of itself is problematic because when you sit in a restaurant and you look around, life has not changed for the majority of South Africans since 1994.
Well, I think that underlying the conversation amongst our community often is an element of instilled racism.
But there's no common value in this society, and that's the problem. Having lived in a place like Australia where people subscribe to a certain basic values, we don't share that here. We should have had a new social contract in 1994, whenever it was. We should have agreed to all up our tax rate by 15-20% and make sure that nobody went to bed hungry, make sure that everybody who was able to got an education and all those things. Because yes, we were privileged and it was time to give back, but none of that happened.
Can I tell you something? I think that a lot of people are worse off because of corruption.
I think there are more hungry people today because of corruption.
I mean, we need to look at what Ramaphosa calls the 9 lost years under Zuma. And that's the problem now, is that we have this narrative in the country that Zuma stuffed it up and Cyril needs to fix it. And it's not quite that simple. You know, people are sitting back and going, well, Cyril needs to act, he needs leadership. People aren't willing to roll up their sleeves and do it themselves. And that's what I talk about, is
the fact that we need to be
active citizens. So people like to bitch and moan and complain about how awful the country is, but they don't do anything about it. So they're not supporting
Section
27 or
utterly marginalised and irrelevant. Is that not why?
Well, that's just because
our voice has just become.
No, you choose to be utterly marginalized and irrelevant. But if you want to get involved with civil society organizations and start giving back and offering your expertise, I'll give a debit order every month to ARTA or to one of those civil society organizations that do good and add value. I can tell you now, and that's one of the green shoots that I wrote about, is that behind the scenes, there is so much work being done by these civil society organizations to fill that void of leadership from government and to add value, and hold power to account and make real changes. And I genuinely believe that if you're going to stay here, then
it's going to be the private
sector. Get involved.
Have you heard of a company called Lulaway?
I've heard of it.
Okay. Yeah. So what Lulaway does is that they approach big companies. I mean, this is what I mean by it's going to come from civil society. They approach big companies, they get funding. And so Mandy Wiener owns give me something that you own, Mand. You've got your own business. What's your business?
Dog leashes for dogs with underbites.
Okay, you manufacture leashes for dogs with underbites.
And Italian accents.
With an Italian accents like Ivan from Woodrock
Yes.
Animal Rescue. you get hold of Lulaway, you say, look, I want to buy into your program, okay? They have got 600,000, let me say that again, 600,000 people who are on their books who need jobs. The person will come, work at you, you will train them. So it has to be specific to training. You will train them up in whatever it is, whether it be a cashier, whether it be manufacturing, whatever sector. You pay them 500 rand a month. Lulaway pays them the rest of their salary, okay, for a year. At the end of the year, that person is trained, and you have the option to either keep them on as an employee or not. Is that not a brilliant idea?
It's an initiative. Like there's a lot of stuff out there.
They've found 30,000 people jobs already.
No, there's amazing stuff out there that's being done in the private sector and in civil society. The issue now is that, you know, we can't just write off government and say we'll fix it all. Government needs to lead. And that's why there's this, the zeitgeist of cynicism. Because Ramaphosa isn't showing that leadership and he's hamstrung at the moment.
Yes.
And that's why there's so much uncertainty and concern. So I by no means am saying, oh, well, government's not going to do anything, so we've got to do it ourselves. But we both need to. Government needs to and civil society needs to. I mean, I spoke at a breakfast this morning at Gibbs.
Yes.
With women from business, from civil society, economists, and it was so inspirational because here you've got, you know, strong leadership, from all sectors that, you know, people, they were just speaking about changing the narrative in the country and, you know, getting things done and improving lives and creating jobs. And it all sounds, you know, a bit like, ooh, I know that you're already looking at me with those.
A little bit. Yeah. No, I want to believe you. I'm just,
looks at everybody.
But
listen, Venezuela was a very prosperous state, you know.
Mandy, we've got to get to news. Thank you very, very much. Really, it has been an absolute pleasure
speaking
to you. Thank you very much.